It's April 2020. For reasons well understood, social media becomes our social. With time on our hands, we're attached to our phones more than we ever have been. What before would have been drops in the ocean now become cultural touchstones. Case in point, the Tiger King. Our hyper-awareness combined with our desperation for escapism inflates things to the nth degree. Minor scandals become major talking points. As we cloister ourselves at home to the chance of, "We're all in this together," it starts to occur to us that, no, we aren't. Maybe it's this heady mix of a thirst for entertainment and sticking it to the man that means a certain thread on Twitter, offering $2 donations to a homeless shelter for every story submitted about how a certain talk show host is, quote, "one of the meanest people alive," gets so much traction. Stories pour in, chipping away at two decades worth of wholesomeness. While before it would have flown under the radar, now it explodes, until members of her own staff, on one of the top shows in America, break their silence, whistleblowing an alleged toxic, bullying, racist environment with America's first lady of daytime TV at the helm. There's something about a fall from grace that captures our imagination. And when you have as far to fall as Ellen DeGeneres, it can take a while to come back down to earth. Welcome to Canceled. I'm your host, Cam, and this is the show where we look back at some of the biggest and most bizarre attempts to cancel people, corporations, and even countries. You may think the subjects of our very rigorous and academic study deserve public disdain. You may think it's all a gross injustice, but it doesn't matter. Because all of them were judged in the court of public opinion and ultimately canceled.
Hey, drag fans, listen up.
I'm Alaska.
And I'm Willem.
And we are the hosts of Race Chaser, the premier RuPaul's Drag Race recap podcast. And if you aren't listening to our hit show yet, start right now.
Not to toot our own horn, but we are bona fide drag superstars. And on our award-winning podcast, we take you behind the scenes of this season and all the seasons of Drag Race to discuss and dissect the looks, the laughs, the queens, and the drama mama.
Race Chaser with Alaska and Willem is the ultimate backstage pass for both Drag Race obsessives and new fans alike.
No one is serving you the juicy, raw, uncut, behind-the-scenes hot goss like us. So join us.
Check out new episodes of Race Chaser every Wednesday and Friday, wherever you get your podcasts.
The movies are back, baby. And if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint, it's the name of 2 months, and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies, Baby. Every week on Movies Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies Baby wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies Baby with 5 Y's. Movies Baby!
Today's cancellation is a work in progress. Hailed as a queer icon who blazed new trails for gay people in the public eye, it's now alleged that she is the enabler of a toxic workplace, an arbiter of harassment, and a bully. Ellen DeGeneres is less falling off the cliff of cancellation than tumbling down the hill next to it. But how did Ellen, once so beloved she's in a category where her first name does all the work, go from a pioneer of the LGBTQ community to someone accused of being arbitrarily mean? And crucially, how is it that both of those things, groundbreaker and faker, can be true all at once? To know Ellen, you need to know that she's been canceled before for altogether different reasons. It's 1997, and liberal Hollywood, as it turns out, isn't all that liberal. gay is still an acceptable punchline. Queer culture exists only on the fringes. And prominent openly LGBTQ entertainers and public figures are few and far between, subject to ridicule, and often living in the quote, glass closet, that is out to industry insiders, but their sexuality kept hidden from the public. This is the environment in which one of the most prominent lesbian figures of the 21st century cuts her teeth. Ellen before Ellen navigates a career in the stand-up circuit, to the movies, sitcoms, and even an educational show with Bill Nye the Science Guy. She's prominent enough to be considered a star, but shielded from scrutiny of her personal life. This all changes in 1994 when she debuts the sitcom Ellen, an eponymous star vehicle that turns her into a comedy force. Ellen is a hit, and it's attributed to a specific quality that its star seems to exude: authenticity. It feels as though the every woman from New Orleans has been transplanted onto the national stage unabridged, and people love it. She's wholesome, she's funny, she's nice. Nobody objects to her because nobody is offended by her. This is the narrative that is to follow Ellen throughout her career. Ellen, the show, much like Ellen the celebrity, is built on this appeal. And here's where she first gets canceled. She strays from the familiar and decides to shatter the glass closet from the inside. It's 1997, and throughout the 90s, there's speculation that Ellen may be gay, but she is hesitant to give credence to the rumors. This is before social media, and the capacity for privacy in the public eye is still generous. She doesn't have to, but she decides to come out publicly, on the cover of Time magazine and on The Oprah Winfrey Show. Her fictional sitcom counterpart does so at the same time, in an episode that gains 45 million viewers. It's brave, it's bold, and it's bruising. She receives vocal support, but in the pre-Twitter landscape of the 90s, the tabloids fill the void. Contentious press coverage follows. Advertisers pull their backing, and America's religious right have a field day. Pleasant Ellen has found someone to offend, and they make sure she knows it. Her sitcom staggers on for one more season post-outing, and then, along with its star, is canceled. She retreats from the public eye, the backlash is so damaging. Quote, "I never wanted to be the lesbian actress," end quote, DeGeneres would later say. Quote, "I never wanted to be the spokesperson for the gay community, ever. I did it for my own truth," end quote. Her own truth cost her a cruising altitude stardom and threw her career into nosedive. Remember, there was no act to follow. Years pass, and Ellen has to start from scratch, eking her way back into the public eye. A failed sitcom here and an award show hosting gig there. It isn't until 2003 that she manages to recapture what catapulted her to fame in the first place. Wholesome folks see authentic Ellen is reformatted in The Ellen DeGeneres Show, and with it, she is relaunched. What's most striking now, watching clips from early seasons, is how much the show is built around the tone its host strikes. In the same way Oprah is now worshipped for her legendary giveaways and spirit of self-betterment, Ellen becomes known for two things: her authentic optimism and her dancing. America is charmed. Here is a woman who is all things to all people, but this time with nothing to hide. What's more, her being gay doesn't seem to matter. She draws in viewers from across the political spectrum, invited to enjoy the light, funny daytime fare and the monologues from an unpretentious host, beseeching those watching to, quote, be kind. Ellen has done the unthinkable. She hasn't just reversed her cancellation. She's used it as a kickboard to the heights of television success. Cut to 2018. The Ellen DeGeneres Show, now simply known as Ellen, has been riding high for 15 years. Its trademark, where the host dances gamely with audience members at the top of the show, has been phased out. But its crowd-pleasing mix of celebrity and real-life stories, in an easy-breezy afternoon tonic, continues to thrive. The woman at the center of it all has won seemingly every plaudit under the sun and is hailed as the most likable woman in Hollywood. Which is why it's so remarkable to see a New York Times headline professing, "Ellen DeGeneres is not as nice as you think," next to a photo of the woman herself looking reflective and forlorn. This isn't an expose. This is a profile of DeGeneres with the headline based on her own words. Here's the woman who has built a television empire based on the popular conceit of her unremitting niceness, warning us it isn't the case. DeGeneres has shot a special for Netflix aptly titled Relatable. And in the profile, she discusses how her talk show persona has become a comedy straitjacket. She's tired of being the dancing lady, feels creatively unfulfilled, and is concerned at how audiences conflate what they see for an hour in the afternoon with the real whole person. Her comedy special shows a spikier side, more distant and maybe more real. At this point, rumors abound that Ellen is far different in real life from what we see on TV. Tensions on the set and vague reports of her being rude and cold awash the internet. It's an attack on that central tenet of her success, her seeming authenticity. When asked about these growing stories, she's firm in her denial. But by the same token, she admits she's playing a character as a talk show host, and that she's less relatable now than she has ever been. Now let's be real. She's a multimillionaire with a personal chef. Of course she's less relatable now than she was in the 90s. That shouldn't be a surprise. But something about this interview and the special itself is jarring.
Have you ever thought, ugh, this water is too wet?
This beach is too sandy. I'm Christine.
And I'm Zandy. And we're siblings and the hosts of Beach Too Sandy, Water Too Wet, the podcast where we do dramatic readings of the most wild and off-the-wall reviews on the internet.
We read real reviews about everything from Vegas weddings, matchmaking services, and Trader Joe's to caves, toddler beds, and Spirit Halloween.
You won't believe the things people think absolutely must be said on the internet. How else would everyone know some caves don't have Wi-Fi?
We hear about the good, like the time a couple was happily married in a Vegas Denny's.
The bad, I mean, who knew people stole from pet cemeteries?
No comment. And the ugly, because when there's soggy lettuce at the Chuck E. Cheese salad bar, it can get pretty ugly.
So true. Join us every Wednesday wherever you listen to your podcast. Beach Too Sandy, Water Too Wet is brought to you by the Forever Dog Podcast Network.
Every day in America, 60 million packages are delivered. But we don't always know what's inside.
He bent down to pick the package up. That's when the device detonated.
Danger is everywhere, and no one is safe in Austin, Texas, as law enforcement hunts a serial bomber for 19 days. From Sony Music Entertainment, Campside Media, and Pegalo Pictures, this is Witnessed. 19 Days. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts to binge all episodes or listen weekly wherever you get your podcasts.
It's almost as if after feeding us 20 plus years of this image of innocuous, unrelenting niceness, she's decided to backtrack. What's more, she's breached a fundamental rule of comedy. You never admit your shtick is a shtick unless you want to be beaten with it. The social media machine, absent from much of Ellen's career, slowly starts to grind into motion. If there's one single criterion for cancellation by Twitter, it's pretending to be something you're not. It's a slow burner. There are sporadic viral tweets about how Ellen is rude to waiters. She polices what her staff eat for lunch. She once fired an autistic man for speaking to her. Less happy days, more the devil wears Prada. But the stories don't quite catch on. That blanket denial Ellen gives to the New York Times seems to do enough, and her ratings remain intact. Then something strange happens. Dakota Johnson of 50 Shades fame makes an appearance on the show in late 2019. Ellen, with her trademark perkiness, wishes Johnson happy birthday and asks why she wasn't invited to her party. Johnson rebuts that she was invited but didn't show up, something confirmed by Ellen's producer, Jonathan. It's all of a 30-second exchange, but Ellen is caught in a lie. They laugh it off. The awkwardness is searing. And this is what Twitter has been waiting for. The clip goes viral. Johnson is heralded for daring to go up against the unimpeachable Ellen, and the host is called out for what is perceived to be her bullshit. Fuel is added to the fire when it is revealed that the reason for Ellen's non-attendance at Johnson's Malibu party was because she was in Texas attending a sports match with the former president George W. Bush of War on Terror, anti-LGBTQ rights, and failed Hurricane Katrina response fame. A furor rages across socials. Ellen addresses the Bush meeting on her show, echoing her ubiquitous mantra to be kind. It doesn't work. What had been a trickle of negative press becomes a torrent. The Bush story is a permission slip for people to, quote, expose the truth about Ellen with a kind of savage, long-delayed satisfaction. Accusations of racism, abuse, and bullying on the set of her talk show erupt. That Twitter thread, offering a $2 donation to an LA homeless shelter for every Ellen being mean story, gets almost 3,000 responses. Meanwhile, in the midst of a pandemic, among reports of her hiring a non-union crew to work her show whilst leaving staff in the dark about their job status, she tweets that being locked down in her beachside mansion feels like jail. The very flaw that Ellen herself had mooted in that New York Times profile, that she just wasn't relatable anymore, that she was acting, had been enough of an admission to call into question her entire brand. If she could lie about attending a birthday party, what else was she lying about? The bubble had burst. It's something hitherto unknown for Ellen. In the 90s, circa first cancellation, she was the underdog. Her unjust exile for her sexuality became a sign of her honesty. She'd shown integrity in the face of errant bigotry. But this time, it seems as though it's her lack of integrity that's the issue. Years of preaching kindness to the camera, only to be accused of letting racism and sexual harassment run amok behind it. At best, she dropped the ball. At worst, she enabled this abuse from the position of total power over her fiefdom, whilst raking in the money and enjoying the adoration of millions. It's not a good look, y'all. Ellen remains on air. She, of course, did an emotional soliloquy to camera, pleading ignorance of the charges to which she stands accused, but admitting the fact that her persona of the lovely, likable every woman isn't always entirely representative. It was met with disbelief and derision. Ratings continue to dip, reportedly hemorrhaging over a million viewers. This isn't a clear-cut cancellation. There isn't a decisive moment where the subject crossed the point of no return. Ellen may bounce back. She has before. It's a part of her legacy. But what strikes me in all of this, as Ellen is accused of breaking her vow to her audience to be kind, is who set those standards for her? Was it Ellen herself? Had she traded for so long on her brand as a lovable, unassuming comic that any deviation from that reads as a betrayal? Or is it us? Are the standards we set for those in public life so high, so unattainable, that we rejoice in tearing them down when they inevitably slip? It shouldn't be ignored that the vitriol that has accompanied this ongoing scandal seems particularly potent. It surely can't be discounted that the target of all of this often heightened dislike is a gay woman in her 60s. But then I think back on Ellen's own proviso after her first cancellation. Quote, "I never wanted to be the spokesperson for the gay community, ever. I did it for my own truth." End quote. This episode of Canceled was written by Anton Ferry. This is a Broccoli production.